exclusiveness and inclusiveness. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Psalm 50 and verse 5. And we may add to that John 13:30. He, that is Judas, went out immediately, and it was night. What God had in mind when he created man was a fellowship with a people of heavenly life and spiritual nature. And he made abundant provision in the tree of life, a figure of Christ, for man to attain that stature. After the fall of the first man, Adam, into sin, and in the course of developing human history, God took up Israel as a nation to be an instrument of blessing to all the nations. Israel was given special privileges and the maximum amount of divine help. Great and mighty miracles were wrought by God on their behalf, and mighty prophets of the Lord taught them all as God gave revelation of himself to the prophets. But Israel failed God's purpose. It is not a little humiliating to see in them how weak man after the flesh really is, and how impossible are his own efforts to acquire anything of a spiritual nature or to accomplish anything of spiritual worth. There is demonstrated in that nature, in that nation, the weakness of the flesh. All fleshly effort and creature confidence proved in vain. Israel was an empty vine, as the prophet said, and was rejected. Now we see something of the exclusiveness, first of all, of the Lord's table. Judas, it is evident, left the feast of the Passover without waiting for the instituting of the Lord's Supper. Indeed, he was dismissed by the Lord before it began. Secretly, Judas had allied himself with Jewish rulers for betrayal purposes, and he represented national Israel in their rejection of Christ. But in dismissing Judas from the Paschal feast before his own memorial supper began, we see that the Lord's Supper has an exclusive feature and excludes all who in their heart reject the Lord as Savior and betray him by their lack of faith in him. It is not a feast for unbelievers. When we go back to the institution of the Passover feast in Exodus 12, we find there was a feature that had to do with God's jealousy of his own honor. Egypt gave their honor not to the living God, but to many false gods of their own making. And the plagues sent by God upon that land and people were judgments upon these false deities. God was jealous for his own honor in that land, and Moses, as his servant, stood against any compromise with such heathen abominations. The ultimate of those judgments was his smiting of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, Exodus 12 and verse 12. Why this? Because the firstborn of Egypt represented the power and strength of heathenism, which stood in the way of God's ultimate purpose, which was the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12 and verse 23. The Lord God had to remove all opposition to his purpose concerning firstborn ones. It stood in the way as a rival power. The line of division was the doorway. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, that is the blood of the slain lamb, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. Now, many superstitions gather round the threshold of a house. I recall when a young man in my native country, how often I was asked to be what they call the first foot at New Year time, that is, the first person in the house. And I was chosen because my hair was black, which was supposed to be lucky. It was supposed to bring good luck through the year. Now, many people put horseshoes on the door for the same purpose. The Chinese paste pictures of their gods on the doors to guard them from evil spirits. The doorway has always been a very important and sacred place. In these ancient times, the sprinkling of blood on the posts and lintels of the houses of the children of Israel marked a division. In the New Testament, we read that Judas went out because he was not the Lord's, but a betrayer. That was exclusion in the same way that the blood-sprinkled doorway of the Israelites excluded the superstitious and unbelieving Egyptians. The Scottish Presbyterians had, as part of the communion service, a ceremony known as the fencing of the tables. A very solemn warning was given at this point that no man living in sin or practicing hypocrisy was to partake. This was exclusiveness, you see. We who fellowship in the assemblies have our elder brethren at the door to question visitors in order to make sure they are the Lord's before sitting down at the Lord's table. If not, they are asked to sit aside and not partake. This is right. There is an exclusiveness to the Lord's table. It excludes all who are not born of God. Then we see the inclusiveness of the Lord's table. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 5, Psalm 50. Behind the symbolism of the psalmist day, it meant a gathering together of those who entered into what the Lord Jesus Christ was to accomplish through his sacrifice on the cross. There were always two sides to a covenant, God's and man's. God's side was the provision of the substitutionary sacrifice. Man's side was the embracing of what God provided, of that God provided sacrifice. In this embracing, he handed himself over to God in an act of utter consecration. To go back to Exodus 12, those who gathered to the Lord within their blood-besprinkled houses were those who entered into the value of the shed blood of the slain lamb. Their faith was attested by their use of the blood, which they had sprinkled on their doorways. I have mentioned God's ancient people making a covenant with the Lord. National Israel made a covenant. It was a very sacred thing, like that of a wife to a husband. Jeremiah 31, 32. It was a blood covenant. Any marriage covenant between humans is really a blood covenant, so that the two are made one flesh. National Israel was unfaithful to the covenant made with God. That is why the sins of Israel were so often referred to as whoredom, or fornication, or adultery. Israel had breached its marriage covenant with the Lord. This was the reason God had put them aside, and the reason why Judas was denied presence at the Lord's memorial feast. He, as the representative of Israel, had betrayed a sacred trust and broken a covenant of love. The Lord Jesus, in instituting his own supper as a memorial feast, was establishing a new covenant. A blood covenant with his own blood. It was established on a firmer basis than the old covenant with Israel. The old had human conditions which man could not keep. The new had no conditions, but is based upon forgiving mercy. Through a perfect sacrifice by our Lord, which makes the threat of law impossible and makes our security absolute and eternal. At this table, the Lord gathers his own redeemed ones. They are his elect. These words in the psalm are the words of Messiah spoken to the heavens and to the earth. That is, to angels in heaven and to ministering brethren here on earth, to gather in by the ministry of the word his elect from among the Gentiles. Matthew 24 and verse 30. The covenant of grace referred to those that are his. His covenant ones, they were called. Covenant ones who are reconciled to God in Christ, he being their healer and surety and representative. These covenant ones are to be gathered to himself by effectual vocation, which is usually done by the ministry of the word. This is not to be understood as gathering all the nations to him before him and before him as judge, but of that spiritual people of whom he is their savior. He is the Shiloh Jacob spoke about in Genesis 49 and 10 when he said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. They are a people separated unto himself from a corrupt humanity, a people washed from their sins and set apart as his sanctified ones. They are those who have been accepted with true and living faith, the great propitiatory sacrifice made by him on the cross of Calvary. Thus, when such believers meet around the Lord's table, there is a recognition by them that there must be an exclusion of all that is not of God, and a realization that they themselves are a people who, through God's infinite grace and living faith in the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice made on their behalf, are now joined to the Lord in the closest and most intimate relationship, a chosen and elect bride of his eternal love, and to be his forever. Hear the words of Miss C.A. Wellesley, longing for thy bride, Lord Jesus, of thy heart, to be with thee in glory where thou art, love so groundless, grace so boundless, wins my heart. When thy blood-bought church, Lord Jesus, is complete, when each soul is safely landed at thy feet, what a story in the glory she'll repeat. Oh, to praise thee there, Lord Jesus, evermore. Oh, to grieve and wander from thee nevermore. Earth's sad story closed in glory on yon shore. Then thy church will be, Lord Jesus, the display of thy richest grace and kindness in that day, marking pages, wondrous stages o'er earth's way. Amen and amen.